Good morning. This is Victoria Bowman. I'm chairman of the State Board of Massage Therapy. I call the meeting to order at 9:30 on June 29th, 2020. This is a digital online meeting. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy reserves the right to change the order of items published in this agenda. Except for set for a specific time. During the board meeting, in a majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney on the Arizona Revised Statute, ARS 38-431.03A3, on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendance presence is not required in an executive session, may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open session. Ms. Cisneros, will you please do a roll call to determine quorum?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. Chair Bowman?
Present.
Vice Chair Clark?
Present.
Mr. McLean? Is absent. Mr. Ortega? Mr. Ortega? I do believe I saw him on the line.
Yeah, he's on there. He just came to talk.
Okay, so we have Mr. Ortega as present. And Mr. Ramsey?
I'm here.
Okay, Chair Bowman, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I also want to acknowledge Mr. Wilcox, Mr. White, Mr. Augerton, as well as Ms. Kahn and Mr. Monahan as our staff. And so thank you for being present as well. Call to public. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make a call to the public during a public meeting, subject to reasonable time, which is 3 minutes, place and manner restriction to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter and may ask that the matter be put on a future agenda. And before we go into that, I would like to acknowledge, Mr. McLean, are you on the call now?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Thank you. So we now have all five members in present. And again, we have a quorum. Okay, so first call to public is Joyce D. You have 3 minutes.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Jin San D. I have been applying for my massage therapy license for 7 months since last year, and my status still pending. The Arizona Massage Therapy Board asked me to take the TOEFL English test and scores 25 for each section, includes reading, writing, speaking, and listening, or I cannot get my massage therapy license. I believe my English ability and communication skills are adequate for giving people massage. In 2019, I graduated from Chandler Gilbert Community College, major in massage therapy. My classmates and I graduated at the same school. We took the same classes. I graduated with high honor. Now, all my classmates applied and got the massage therapy license except me, because they don't have to take TOEFL test and scored 25 for each section. I have a passion for this area. During 3 years of schooling, I have been taught in English in all the classes. I already paid 4 times of tuition fees than other students paid, because I am foreign student. And now I have to pay $250 more for an English test to prove that I can speak in English. But my classmates from the same school and the same classes can easily get the massage therapy license without taking a TOEFL test. How does that make sense? Is the education from Chandler Gilbert Community College cannot be trusted? Or a foreign student like me, study hard and graduated with high distinction, cannot be trusted? That's my first question. My second question is that asking me to take the English test to apply a massage license is assuming my clients can only speak in English. Does the board have the right to decide what kind of language my clients can use? I believe my clients can use any language. My last question is that, can it be right to reject a professional massage therapist on linguistic ability alone? I believe this system is using English as a barrier and equals the knowledge of therapeutic massage with the knowledge of English. Is that the right thing? I think that's quite arbitrary. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. Mr. Otterton, we had this individual at our call to public at our practice meeting last Monday. I asked you to address that. Has that been taken care of?
Madam Chair, yeah, we can't discuss it, of course, in this meeting unless it's posted on a future agenda. But the applicant who just spoke again this morning has received a letter from the board staff and an offer to meet personally this week at the board offices with staff.
Thank you very much. Okay, our second call to public is Jolly Rocket. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Richard Tracer, speaking about the shooting star tea. I was born with ADHD and a learning disability, which meant that I had a problem learning pre-algebra concepts. Therefore, when I went on to algebra, I was unable to understand those concepts. So unfortunately, I failed that whole class. So when I went on to online school to recover said credits, Shun-san volunteered to tutor me in the online class, which is in English. So when I finished both semesters, the first semester I passed with an 88% and the second semester with a 97%, all online in English. Therefore, she understands and reads and writes English. And I believe that she is able to communicate exceptionally in a way that is able to allow me to understand the concepts and be able to understand mathematics. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Okay, our third person is Michael Nelson.
Oops. There he is. You can change your screen settings.
Is Michael Nelson available? While we get that set up, let's go on to Daniel Trakei.
Yeah. Can you hear me? This is Daniel Trachel.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
That's Stanley.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'm here to speak on behalf of Jun-Sun Tai about the initial application. Arizona Board of Massage Therapy Initial Application Instructions, if applicable. Written documentation of an applicant passing the ability to benefit examination. This only applies to applicants who have not graduated from high school or have not received high school equivalency diploma. This is that's under the instructions. Arizona Board of Massage Therapy, initial application. Number 7, high school education. The ability to benefit examination recognized by the U.S. Department of Education. Documents attached. Under the U.S. Department of Education, 34, Part 600, Institution Eligibility under Higher Education Act of 1965 as amended. Regulation at 34 CFR 600.2, page 79. Recognized equivalent of a high school diploma. The following are equivalent to a high school diploma. Number 3, the academic transcripts of a student who has successfully completed at least 2-year program that is acceptable for full credit towards a bachelor's degree. Jun Sun Tai has finished her Associates of Applied Science degree, and you have a copy of her degree certificate. You also have a copy of her transcripts, Associates of Applied Science and Massage Therapy with honors. Therefore, if applicable, does not apply to her for a high school, because under the Department of U.S. Education, it is recognized under 34 CFR 600.2, page 79. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to item 4, Declaration of Conflict of Interest. Do any board members have a
conflict? I'm sorry, ma'am.
Yes, excuse me.
This is Michael Nelson. I couldn't get my mute off when you had asked for me a minute ago. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Thank you. Okay, Michael, you have 3 minutes. Go ahead, please.
I'm here to talk about Jun Sun Tai. Also, I'm under the understanding that, you know, that she's trying to get this license so she can practice a career that she's come to a college and passed all of her courses with the highest honors. And not only is she being, I mean, other people have gone through, like I said, with her class, and they've been able to get their license without paying an exorbitant amount of money. She's paid actually 6 times more when she's trying, when she went through school than one of us would have to. And now you're asking for another $250 to take the TOEFL test, which doesn't make any sense to me anyway, because she's already passed an associate's degree program and been granted an associate's degree with high honors. And I don't understand what the concept of that is when they're saying that her English is good enough for to pass college, and you're saying that it's not okay to deal with the public. But in my opinion, it's kind of strange that you would ask if her English is good enough for, you know, any job in the United States. I mean, could she go to McDonald's and work at a McDonald's with the English that she knows? Well, my opinion is if I went to a McDonald's, they don't speak English as well as she does. So I'm not really understanding that fact either. And asking her for another $250 to prove that she can speak English in asking for a high school equivalency when she's already got a college degree is kind of doesn't seem correct to me. It doesn't seem right for some reason. It seems like it's actually asking for a lot higher standard for someone who's already been here, already paid more money and just to be here to do it. And the U.S. government has granted her the right to come in and take it with a visa, and she had to prove, you know, that she could do it just to get that visa in the first place. The college granted her, saying that she could do well enough just to go to that college because she went through English classes and she went and she passed with honor, with high A's, B's, at the most, mostly A's, some B's, but everything still, that's better than most students do in a lot of these classes. And like I said, she's been through and put out a lot more money than we would have to. And you're asking her for even more money. Now, I understand that it costs more money for it costs money for the license, but why would you ask her for another $250 to prove she can speak English when clearly she just talked to you and speaks English well? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Wilcox, do we have one more call to public? I see on the thing Angela Farmer.
Yeah, that was Angela wanted to speak as well. But yeah, you've got Michael and those things.
Oh, okay. She was going to speak in lieu of Michael if he couldn't get his microphone on. Okay.
Michael just finished. He had his done.
Okay. Do we have an Angela Farrer who would like to also speak a call to public?
Yes, I'm Angela Farrar right here.
Go ahead.
I'm here to speak on behalf of Chun Shun Tai, and I was a classmate of Chun Shun Tai during the massage therapy program. Chun Shun Tai's English ability and communication skills are adequate for giving people therapeutic massages. During 2016 to 2019, she studied and graduated from Chandler Gilbert Community College, which is an accredited community college, receiving both English as a second language certificate and therapeutic massage certificate. This means the last 3 years, she passed all the classes, including English, reading, writing, speaking, listening, human anatomy, and physiology, along with therapeutic massage practices and sports massage. She also passed English 107, English 102, Communication 100, and Critical Thinking for her associate's degree. She went to a Toastmasters club to improve her communication skills and completed 880 hours of clinical hours for the massage practical, which was open to the public. All the above is proof she is able to use English for the classes, training, and communication with people. In 2019, she graduated from Chandler Gilbert Community College with honors and high distinction. And that if the Arizona Massage Board still questions Chun Shai T's English ability, is that mean Arizona Massage Board does not trust diploma from Chandler Gilbert Community College, which is one of Maricopa's community colleges recognized by the U.S. Department of Education? Or why is everyone who graduated from the same massage therapy program, including myself from Chandler Gilbert Community College and applied for the massage license and received their license, but Chun Shun Tai cannot get the license? Or is it because the Arizona Massage Board does not trust Chun Shai because she is a foreigner? I believe the Massage Board should waive the TOEFL test for Chun Shun Tai because she graduated from an accredited community college in the United States of America. I appreciate your time and thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. We now have declaration of conflict of interest. Do any of the board members have a conflict of interest with anything that is on our agenda today? Mr. Ortega?
No.
Mr. McLean?
No, ma'am.
Ms. Clark?
No, I do not.
Okay, Mr. Ramsey?
No, ma'am.
Okay, we can then move on. Review discussion and possible action on board meeting minutes. We need to take each one separately. So let's start with the minutes from our February 24th, 2020. That was our online meeting. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Tom Algerton. We did not put your minutes on today's agenda for the last meeting. So these minutes are for the last set of meetings that were held prior to the virus before the meetings went digital.
Okay, so we'll take care of 5A at the next meeting.
Well, you should be, Madam Chair, you should be reading that as February the 24th,
okay.
Not June 22nd.
Oh, okay. My bad. Sorry about that. Okay. So let's go on to B, draft the minutes of December 16th, 2019.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you just one more time. So actually, you do want to consider A, because those are the minutes that we had back in February on that date. You recall that we had some special meetings with Sabrina Khan from the Attorney General's office that we were doing on issues when we were still meeting live. And these minutes were inadvertently not put on our last board agenda, and that's why we have so many before you today.
Thank you. Okay, so let's go back to 5A, discussion and approval of the massage board open minutes from the February 24th, 2020 monthly meeting. Do I have a motion?
John Ortega, I move that we accept the minutes.
Is there a second?
Emily Clark, I second.
Ms. Cisneros, would you please, I would like each one to be a roll call vote, since it will be more explanatory in an online meeting.
Yes, ma'am. Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Now on to B, the draft executive session minutes from December 16th, 2019. Is there a motion and a second?
Kevin Ramsey, I move that we accept the motion, the minutes from December 16th, 2019.
Emily Clark, I second.
Okay. Ms. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote?
Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Now on to 5C, the draft executive session minutes, January 31st, 2020.
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we accept the minutes for January 31st, 2020.
John Ortega, I second.
Ms. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote?
Yes, ma'am. Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Now to 5D, the executive session minutes of February 6, 2020 at 4:25 p.m.
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we accept the minutes of February 6, 2020 at 4:25 p.m.
Kevin Ramsey, I second.
Ms. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote?
Yes, ma'am. Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. 5E, the executive session minutes of February 6, 2020 at 4:37 p.m. Is there a motion?
John Ortega, I move that we accept the minutes.
Kevin Ramsey, I second.
Ms. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, ma'am. Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, we have one more. The executive session minutes of February 24th, 2020. Is there a motion?
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we accept the minutes for February 24th, 2020.
John Ortega, I second.
Ms. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote?
Yes, ma'am. Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, number six, consent calendar, discussion and approval of the massage board per diem policy. Mr. Overton, could I have a little clarification?
Sure. Madam Chair, members, last year we received, as did the other boards and commissions, an audit by the Arizona Auditor General's office, and they actually did a financial audit of the per diem reimbursements provided to each of the five board members over the last fiscal year. And in the course of the financial audit, it was discovered that we did not actually have a specific written policy that deals with per diem reimbursement. The language that we were approved by the Auditor General's office, but predicated upon us providing policy language to them, which we did at that time. But until the board takes formal action and approves it, we will not be in full compliance with the Auditor General's office. So the language that you have before you this morning is to give us that conformity with required state policy.
Has all of the board members received a copy of the compensation and expense policy and procedures?
Madam Chair, it was transmitted to each of the folks, but if you want to verify, that's always helpful.
Right. So, Ms. Clark, did you receive it?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Okay, do we have a motion to accept this?
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we accept the massage board per diem policy.
Kevin Ramsey, I second.
Okay, Mrs. Narrows, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, before we go on, I have a few announcements to make. First, beginning with this month, the Arizona Massage Board joins other state boards and commissions in replacing the meeting format that is traditionally held in one of the three hearing rooms at the 1740 West Adams Boards Building at the state capitol with online digital meetings. This is being done as a safety consideration for the public, board members, and the staff because of the current virus pandemic. As recently as 2 weeks ago, following public hearings by another board, it was discovered that two attendees had active cases of COVID-19 and exposed others in Boardroom C. The massage board will continue to conduct business via video conferencing for the remainder of this calendar year. Two, most of you are probably aware, if you have visited the massage board website recently, that the state license fee is being waived for current Arizona licensees who are renewing their two-year license, as well as any late fees. The board is also waiving the requirement for the completion of 24 continuing education hours every 2 years for license renewal. All of this is being done to help Arizona massage therapists retain their active license status and remain employed serving clients during the pandemic. Three, for those licensees who would still like to receive their hours of continuing education credit by attending one of the state board meetings, that remains an option even with the meetings now using video conferencing. All you need to do is go to the board website at massagetherapy@az.gov and send an email to the info box. It is located at info@massageboard.az.gov. Provide your name, license number, and request for CE hours, and they will be added to your file. This can be done for up to 3 hours during one license period. Four, the massage board remains open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Because staff is working from on-site, business is being conducted by email. All telephone calls to the board office are being converted to email for response and handling. I should also remind everyone that because of the virus pandemic, the time needed for national criminal background checks by the federal government for initial license applications are now taking between 7 and 8 weeks. Five, also the board has asked member Kevin Ramsey to represent the state of Arizona at the 2020 annual meeting of the Federation of State Massage Therapy Boards, FSMTB. The meeting had originally been scheduled for Chicago for this October, but instead now will be conducted online. Kevin can still provide an update for the board from this virtual meeting at our video meeting in November. I would like to thank everyone for your patience and understanding as we temporarily change to the new format for conducting business for the public and the massage industry. Thank you. Okay. Go away. I'm busy. Thank you. Excuse me. Okay. Items for board review, discussion, and possible action. Upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state and federal law. Formal hearings. We have no formal hearings at this time. B, formal interview. We have none. Order for board approval, there are none. We do have under 7D, probation termination. When, let's go to 19-115, Kenneth Reeder. Kenneth, are you present today?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
This is my first time, so it's interesting being virtual and following all this. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Okay, you're cutting out a little bit, just so you know.
I'm fading out?
Yeah.
Okay, I will see if I can get a little stronger voice for you. Okay, well, you're here to be released from probation.
Yeah, was that a question? Yes, I would like to be released from probation. I sent the letter in, the pandemic hit. I also sent CEs that were required by email in October, and I also sent hard copies I had 3 weeks ago. And yes, I would like to be released from probation at this time.
Thank you. Do any of the board members have a question for Mr. Reeder?
Mr. Reeder, this is Emily Clark. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
One question I have is, and it's the one question that I never like to get asked in any situation, what did you learn from this whole experience?
Well, I learned to do a more specific use of my bolster when I'm draping and making sure in the hour or 90 minutes of the treatment that my draping, that I'm on top of it, is secure and the client hasn't moved around to potentially loosen it or whatever, and I'm very on top of it. That has been a big lesson for me. I do not remove the bolster anymore when the client turns over. The draping is secure, tucked, and I've changed my routine. And I'm very happy to be moving forward. I enjoy my profession. I did go back to work after the pandemic. I sent you a couple letters of reference. And I have recently moved to Tucson just before the pandemic hit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Otterton, do we need a motion to remove him from probation?
Madam Chair, do you want to see if Mr. White has any comments at this time? It just confirmed we have all of our paperwork and so forth before the board takes action.
Certainly. Mr. White, is everything in order for Mr. Reeder?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. He had all his paperwork in March. It was just the timing of the pandemic threw the meeting up, and he couldn't be released without the board releasing him.
Okay, great. Okay.
Ms. Chair, if I may, Mr. Reeder, this is Kevin Ramsey. I just do have one question. You said you returned to work when you got down to Tucson. What line of work are you in now?
I'm working with my license as a massage therapist.
He was just on probation, Mr. Ramsey. He wasn't suspended.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have a motion to remove him from release him from probation?
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we approve the release of Ken Reeder from his probation at this time.
Thank you. Mrs. Naros, can we have a roll call vote?
Yes, Chair Bowman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay, Mr. Reeder, thank you very much. Go and do
May
good.
I ask? Oh, yep. I'm sorry. Are you through? May I ask a quick question? How much time before it shows up on my license?
It'll be today. As soon as the meeting opens, I'll take care of it today.
All right, thank you.
I will send your new license shortly. You'll have it in your email, okay?
And then he'll remove the probation. And then CEs, I can go on to the info email and request CEs for today?
Yes.
Okay, thank you all. Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Be safe. Thank you.
Okay, our next case is 18-110 Edward Nez, a.k.a. Boyce. Are you here today?
Yes, I am here.
Wonderful. Thank you. And this is also a release from probation?
Yes.
Okay. And I think I'll follow on Ms. Clark's question to Mr. Reeder. What have you learned and gleaned from this experience?
I am, responsible for my actions, and I have learned from my mistakes, and I definitely will not be repeating these experiences. I definitely had learned very thoroughly about taking classes for the 20 continuing educational classes of the ethic classes from SWEHA, and also doing the massage modalities at for 24 more credits addition. I've also learned a lot from the AA meetings, and also I submitted a letter from my sponsor to Andrew White. I've learned so much about how the law works, and also I submitted a lot of my my tasks, screening tests, and also the advert health receipts. Unfortunately, I couldn't submit get any information from the test results because the state will not allow to share any of those information with the state board. But I did have my probation officer contact Andrew White, explaining why they don't release that information, even though if I would in person ask for information release. So my probation officer had gotten hold of Andrew White, submitting an email, and I also submitted my receipts and any proof of information that I've done my screening.
Mr. White, or Mr. Nez?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Ness has completed every step of his probation also. He was never suspended. The blood screen is treated as a medical record, and they're not allowed to release it, the probation officer gave me okay that he's passed every step of his alcohol treatment, and he has no problems, and he's finished all his required classes.
Thank you. Do any other board members have questions for Mr. Boyce?
This is Emily Clark. I just have one question. It's more of a clarification. As I was going through my paperwork this mm-hmm. weekend, Mr. White, you can correct me if I'm wrong or make sure that I understand this correctly from one of the paperworks from the Superior Court. He was convicted of a count one aggravated assault, which is a class 3 felony. Is that right?
One second. I have to pull his regular file, but it could be. I'm not sure what was the question for.
I just wanted to make sure that our statutes and the rules and regulations that we have with the class 3 felony, was that dropped, reduced to a misdemeanor, or I'm just showing in one of the pieces of paperwork, and I just want to make sure that if anything had changed, because, and like I said, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, that our statutes say within 5 years of being convicted of a felony, class 1, 2, or 3, that they would not be able to get their license. I just want to make sure if I'm correct or if I'm incorrect.
That's for a person coming in. That's for a person coming in from the outside as a new applicant, not for a person that's already has applicant status.
Okay, gotcha. I just want to make that a clarification, make sure everything is in line so I'm not under a misunderstanding here. So,
Ms. Ortega, would you like to weigh in, please?
Yes. He pled guilty to aggravated assault class 6. And felony endangerment, also a class 6. So he may have been arrested for a class 3, but he pled guilty to class 6s.
Thank you. I have it in front of me.
Thank you for the clarification. Okay, are there any other questions for the board, from the board members to Mr. Nez? Do we have a motion to approve release from probation?
John Ortega, I move that we release from probation Boyce, file 18-110.
Is there a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Ms. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes, okay.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ness.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good day.
Thank you. Okay. We're now moving on to... Number 7E, investigative review files. The board to review, discuss, and take possible action on investigative files. Number 120-140, Samuel Cartez. Ms. Cisneros, would you please read the overview on this?
Yes, as the board may recall, this matter was considered at the February 24th, 2020 meeting, where after hearing from both parties, the board ultimately voted to continue the investigation review file in order for staff to obtain additional soap notes from prior massage therapy sessions, as well as the report from the police department. The complainant in this case alleges that the respondent's conduct during the massage in question deviated from what she had experienced from prior massage therapy sessions. According to the police department records, which were obtained since the last meeting and also included in the board's packet, based on the information gathered and witnesses interviewed during the police department's investigation, it was determined that charges would not be filed and the case was closed with an inactive status. Additional soap notes that were obtained reflect past massage therapy sessions, including notes from sessions that occurred in December 2018, February 2019, as well as the note from the December 2019 encounter with the respondent. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Samuel Cartez on the line today? And also...
Yes.
Yes. And also is LB on a line today, either. Is that the number ending in 6-1?
I believe Mr. Cortez is does end in 6-1. Is that correct, Mr. Cortez?
Are you talking about my massage license?
No, we're making sure that you're on the line.
Right.
I am on the line.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to see on the screen which person was which person. Since you're calling in, we don't have a visual of you, so thank you. Is LB on the line? Mr. Wilcox, do we know if LB is on the line?
I do not know which one that they are or if they're not here at all.
Okay, thank you. I need just a moment, please.
Madam Chair, while you're taking a moment, let me ask a question of Mr. White. What response have we received from the complainant?
I talked to all the complainants on Thursday. She did what she posted. Did she turned in though? She testified already, and then she allowed me to be able to secure her her record from the spa. Also, ordered the police report with me also, so I got my copy and her copy. And she had one thing that she wanted to add is that when he talks about the party, it was a kid's party. It wasn't a grown-up's party. It was a little kid's party for some babies. So when he talks about a party, that's what she's talking about. There's no indication about any alcohol or anything of anyone being under the influence on any paperwork at all on his soap notes. So that part of the question has been answered. There's no record of it. If it's part of the record, he would have put it into the record that she was inebriated. But like she said, she was there. When she talked about the party, she was talking about she had a little kid's Christmas party, which she does every year.
Mr. White, this is Kevin Ramsey. I do have another question. Evidence mostly around these soap notes and the police reports. Is all that included in our new packets? It looks like mostly similar as the last time, at least in compared to the soap notes, but I did read a little bit newer material from the police reports. Is this everything included in here?
Yes, everything's in there.
Thank you.
So notes, police report.
Ms. Kahn, this is Chairman Bowman. Do I need to use the, I need a little logistical help here. Do I need to use one of the scripts from our book? Are we not to that point yet?
Ms. Bowman, no, we're not to that point yet. This is just a continuation of the investigative review that the board had already reviewed at the February meeting. Thank you. Yeah, it's just an overview of the investigation. If you want someone to provide a summary, or if you want, you know, you're free to request that.
Okay, thank you. So, to the board members, do we have any questions to Mr. Cartes at this time?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I do remember this investigative review from back in February pretty clearly. I really only have one question for Mr. Cartes, and that's, you know, if you have anything new to present to us today, what's been happening the past few months in terms of, you know, you preparing for this review, kind of catch us up to date.
Yeah, so any questions that you have for me, feel free to ask away.
This is Chairman Bowman. Mr. Cartes, how many massages have you given to LB?
Approximately maybe 6 to 8 massages.
Okay. And do you fill out slip notes on each appointment?
Yes.
I don't see. I don't see soap notes for that many appointments. Were they all turned in to board staff? Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I'm getting to them now, I think. Okay.
Ms. Chair, I'm also only seeing about 3 appointments worth of soap notes. Well, here's another one, 4.
I think one is a duplicate.
Yes, Chair Bowman, if I may. This is Andrea.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay? There are a total of 4 soap notes included in the board's packet. 2 are duplicates of the massage session in question. The 2 others are from other providers. I just wanted to make that clear for the board. Thank you.
Okay, so we actually have soap notes with, I believe it's 3 different massage therapists at that location. Is that what?
Correct, according to the board's file.
Okay, thank you. So, I think that what I'm seeing is that all the soap notes are close to identifying. With basically the only thing being changed is the date checking in, sometime checking out. Which for me, if she was, I guess for me, if this experience happened to me, I would certainly put a note in the soap notes as what occurred. Would you like to explain that, Mr. Cartes?
What was the question?
Well, I see the so this occurred on December 21st of 2019, and in your soap notes of that day, there was no indication from you that there was anything different or that anything occurred, and I'm just wondering why that information wouldn't be put in your soap notes.
I remember being in shock, and I just wanted to move forward with the day. So I wasn't going to write anything. I just didn't want to write about anything. I just wanted to move forward.
Did you change this from a 60-minute to a 90-minute massage?
I don't understand the question. Can you say that again?
Was this a 60-minute massage or a 90-minute massage?
I don't remember.
Okay.
She normally gets 90 minutes, so it probably was a 90 minute.
So the soap notes express a 60 minute massage.
Okay, it was a 60 minute massage.
Well, I would like to ask board members weigh in on your feelings and impressions about this case.
Yeah, Ms. Chair, Kevin Ramsey.
Mr. Ramsey.
I don't have any more questions for Mr. Cortez. It seems like the story is inconsistent over time. There was really no effort made on the therapist's part to ensure that there are any notes taken in the files recorded that were submitted to us by his place of business at the time. There is the only session notes that I see really don't outline anything that makes sense as a traditional SOAP note-taking. And really the other notes that we received as well are pretty similar, and that's a little worrisome to me personally. But, in my practice, if, a client were to be coming in, allegedly hungover or drunk, it would be my ethical decision to reschedule that appointment or not to work on that person. If a client made inappropriate actions towards me, I would end the session and, report it appropriately. I would also log all of this in the notes. We all know as seasoned therapists that the one thing that you have on your side is these detailed notes that you should be taking each and every session with each and every client. And so it's very hard for me to kind of open a dialogue for two ways if there are no notes that we can go on. I do remember that there hasn't really been a whole lot of presentation from from Mr. Cortez, and so it's really hard to you know, think any other way other than this is poor note taking. It's you could have done a lot more to help yourself in this situation, but it's blank, it's missing. So I'm happy to open up dialogue with other board members. What are you guys thinking?
Mr. Ortega, please go ahead.
This is John Ortega. I felt that LB's testimony was compelling. I don't know if it was to the extent that she testified, but it seems like something happened, and I would have no problem moving this to a formal interview.
Like Clark, I concur with Mr. Ramsey. I think there was a lot of poor note taking. That if something did happen, yes, you should have ended the session and made appropriate notes, made comments to your manager. But I also agree with Mr. Ortega. I think we need a little bit more information on both sides, and I would really like to hear from LB if possible. So I would like to see this go to a formal interview. Okay.
Mr. McLean, do you have any comments at this time?
Yes, I agree with everybody's assessment. I feel that there wasn't enough preparation made for something as important as this meeting today. And as something as important as the field that you folks work in, a situation like that definitely deems it necessary that documentation was done, not using the excuse that you're just ready to move on to get through the day, especially if you take the time to do something else. When your license is on the line, it is of utmost importance that you document anything out there.
Is there a motion to move this to formal interview?
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we move this case number 20-140, Samuel Cardos, to in formal interview.
Is there a second? Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, so will staff please inform LB as well of this information? And Mr. Cortez, the board will get with you as to how we proceed forward.
I'll make notifications this week. She's in Colorado, so she could be out of range.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. White.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Let us go on to case 20-144, Joshua Richardson. Okay. Ms. Cisneros, would you please give us a summary of this case?
Yes, thank you, Chair Bowman and members of the board. On January 27th of this year, the board received a complaint from NW regarding a massage therapy session with the respondent that took place on January 17th, 2020 at Rubs Massage Studio. NW stated that this was her third session with the respondent and that she asked for him specifically because his prior ability to relieve her shoulder and neck pain. She stated that at the end of the scheduled 60 minutes, the respondent asked if she would like to stay for another 30 minutes to continue working on problem areas, to which she agreed. The complainant reported that after informing the front desk and returning to the room, the respondent proceeded to massage her inner thighs and concentrated on her groin area. Respondent then asked to massage the abdomen, at which time respondent removed the drape completely, leaving NW's breasts exposed as well as her underwear. Respondent told NW that he would massage her connectors and proceeded to slip his hands into NW's underwear, first rubbing her pelvic bone / pubic area and then her vagina. NW alleged that the respondent then aggressively massaged her bare breasts. When the session was finished, respondent left the room and waited with a cup of water. He asked NW if she felt looser and recommended a long bath with Epsom salts. N.W. subsequently reported the incident to the general manager and was informed that the respondent was removed from the schedule pending an investigation. The complainant also filed a report with the police department. N.W. reported that as a result of the encounter, she has had to take a leave from school as well as work to receive intensive treatment. Respondent was subsequently terminated from employment after two additional complaints were made with similar allegations. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Mr. Richardson on the line today?
Hello?
Mr. Richardson? Yes.
Yes.
Does your phone number end in 68?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, well, would you like to explain what happened?
Well, first I have a question on the last part. I have not had any complaints ever on her except this one client, but you're saying that someone else had complained about me? I've been doing this since 2005. I've never had a complaint. And I'd like to know how the person that said I did something is coming up that's saying I had other complaints about me when I've not even been told about it.
Chair Bowman, this is Andrea. If you give me just 1 second, I'll look to where that file is located in the board's packet.
Right. There is a paper from Rubb's Massage Studio that has documentation of conversation.
As far as the client in question, I never, when I came back to the room, I was working on her adductors. As before, I was leaving the room. I never touched her vaginal area. And when I went, before the session even started, I had talked to her, actually the prior massage when I was working with her. Because I gave him organ, and we were able to do breast massage. And I looked down here, we were able to do breast massage here also. And I told her that I could work it, or she could find someone that she feels more comfortable with and work it to help her back release and her shoulders roll back more, because she was hunched over and not even standing straight, and her shoulders were rotated immediately. And before the massage, I asked her if that's something she wanted to work on during the session, and she had said yes. And when I came back in the room to start, I asked her also, at the beginning of massage, I asked her if she wanted abdominal massage also, because releasing the abdominals also helps you stand up straighter and releases the back and that helps you stand up. So when I came back, I finished working the adductors. I believe it was on her left leg, because that's what I was working. And then I asked her, I'm going to work the abdominals now. And I had a towel in my hand. I said, would you like to drape while I work your abdominals? And she said, no. And I said, well, I can cover you if you want. She said, no, I'm okay with that. So I then draped her, the sheets down to about her ASIS, just the top of the underwear, so I could get to all the abdominals. And I ended up working the abdominals up by the xiphoid process, up in the muscles. And then I was using lotion to work the muscles. And then I asked, as I explained before the massage, you want me to work the attachments with the psoas, iliopsoas, and some of the abdominal muscles? And she said yes. And so I said, do you want me to work above the sheet, or do you want me to continue using lotion? And she said, continue using the lotion. So I went along the inside of her ilium and worked the iliopsoas down to about the AS or the ISIS, above the pubic symphysis, and everyone below the pubic symphysis. And I'm sorry, yeah, pubic symphysis. And I worked across, doing cross-fiber fixation. And then I worked the other side, which I was on the left side. So I worked her right side, iliopsoas, and the abdominals, back up to the left or right side abdominals, up into the ribs as well.
So if I'd like to clarify this, you worked into the pubic symphysis?
No, I worked above it. I didn't go below the pubic symphysis. I worked down to the anterior iliac, inferior spine, I would say it wrong, AIIS, and worked from there across to the other side, from left to right, doing cross-fiber fixation, a little petrissage, to loosen up the near the attachments of the rectus abdominis. And then after I was done with there, and then I asked her if she still wanted to do the breast work. She said yes. And I did the breast work. And I know that's a sensitive area because I worked on plenty of women in the past when they have the breast tissue that's really tight, which was her case. And I worked everything from the base of the tissue, underneath the tissue, and massaging the tissue, not touching the areola at all, staying below that. And where the attachment is on the fifth and sixth rib, on the side, up and down the sternum. And during the whole process, I asked her, like when I was working the iliopsoas, and I started working across fiber, I asked her, is it still okay? Do you want me to still work it? She said, yes. I checked in with her, the pressure. She said, it was fine. And then when I was working the breast tissue, just like I do with every other client, I checked in how the pressure was. And she said it was fine. She never once asked me to stop. She never once asked me to lighten up the pressure. So I went by what she was telling me, saying the pressure was fine when I was working on her.
And did you have a breast release form signed?
That I did not, because I didn't see that part. I didn't have to have that in Oregon. And afterwards, when I talked to the managers, they said, yes, we can do breast massage on here, but we need to have a release form. So that is my fault. And from here going on forward, I know to have that and have that ready in case anyone else would like that work done to have it signed.
So, Ms. Clark, do you have any questions for Mr. Richardson?
I think based on what we have in our packet and what he was just talking about, I think we need a little more information, especially from NW. And because I just don't feel that I could make a, I have enough information to render any kind of a decision today. And I'd like to go to a formal interview to make sure we've got everything that we need.
Mr. White, is NW on the call? Or
yeah, I saw her when she checked in.
Okay.
Oh, she is here. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Ramsey, do you have any questions right now for Mr. Richardson?
I've got plenty of questions, but I would also like to hear from NW as well.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McLean, do you have any questions for Mr. Richardson at this time?
Unless I didn't hear correctly, he had done massages for this individual two other times before this. Is that correct?
Mr. Richardson, would you like to answer that?
I had worked on our previous, yes. I thought it was only one time before, which was, I believe, the week before. So I told her the first time I saw her, I remember telling her, you come back within a week or two so we can keep up on it. Otherwise, if she waits, you know, another 4 weeks or so, as tight as she was, the muscles could tighten back up and we'd have to start all over as far as trying to release everything.
Okay, and there was not a breast massage the first time?
No, I had mentioned it, but that's when I told her it's up to her if she would like that. And if she preferred to have someone else do it, she was more comfortable with, she could see them.
Okay, and during the massage, did you notice any change, especially that second 30 minutes that was added on, did you notice any change in her behavior or in how she was acting?
No, she was completely fine. She just the same as the prior massage. Even after the massage, she came out and she was smiling. I asked her how she was feeling. She told me she could stand up straighter. She felt like she could breathe easier. Her chest felt like it was more open. And on the way walking up to the front, she even stopped me to give me a tip before we even got to the tip because she said she didn't want to record it on the card.
Okay, that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega, do you have any specific questions for Mr. Richardson at this time?
No, I don't.
Thank you. NW, if you are on the call, would you please unmute you? And Mr. Richardson, would you please mute yourself?
Hello.
Oh, thank you. go ahead and unmute yourself for a minute, Ms. NW.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Would you unmute yourself for just, or would you mute yourself for a minute?
Sure.
Mr. Wilcox, we need to provide confidentiality for this person because her name is showing up. I don't know exactly the logistics of handling this.
Okay. What she would need to do would be she'll log out, and then she'll go to like a Gmail or that kind of thing, and then sign out of Gmail so everything's disconnected. And then when she comes back to join the meeting, it'll ask what she'd like her name to be, and she can type her initials at that point.
Did you understand that, NW?
Yes, but my name has already appeared, and I'm showing my face. And if it's okay with you, I'd rather just speak now.
Okay, just give me a minute. Ms. Khan, may I ask for an opinion?
I mean, it's up to the complainant, NW. If you want to not log back out and log back in with your initials, that's up to her.
Okay.
It probably would be best practice for her to log out and log back in using her own initials, but I'm going to leave this completely up to her discretion, if that's okay with you, Chair Bowman.
So, NW, we honor confidentiality, and if you would like to go ahead and stay on the line as you are, that is okay with me. And so I'll leave that to you. Okay.
And also, Madam Chair, she could call in using just the phone option,
right,
if that's something she would want to do. She can just call in. That might be quicker than having to log back out and then re-logging back in. She could just use the phone option and just call from a telephone. That's also an option she has.
Mr. Wilcox, is that the phone number that starts with 859?
This on the top of the agenda.
Yes.
With the PIN number. So yeah, she could use that.
Okay. So NW, if you would like to do that, I could give it to you quickly, and then you would just come in with the last digits of your phone number. What would you like to do?
I would like to just go ahead and proceed, if that's okay with everyone.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So. Well, let's start with Mr. Ramsey. Do you have questions for NW?
Yeah, if you would just please present your experience.
Yes. So it was the third time that I was receiving a massage from Joshua Richardson, and I did ask for him specifically. On prior appointments after the massage, he did recommend that I ask somebody I trusted to possibly relieve tension in my breast area, but never ever once did he offer to do that. If he had, I would not have felt comfortable going back to him. The report that was read is in essence what happened. I do want to just clarify something. It was not me that called the manager to make a report. It was actually the manager that contacted me because the front desk noted that I looked distressed when I left and that I wasn't my usual self. And prior to even talking to me, they pulled him from the schedule. Once I spoke with the manager, I reported my experience, and she encouraged me to pursue criminal charges, which I did about a week later. So I did want to clarify that. Yes, he repeatedly asked me if the pressure was okay. I froze in that moment. I was not prepared to go to a massage that day and have a stranger touch me in areas that I did not consent to, and were not ever part of a massage that I've ever had in my whole life, especially not one with this individual. And he says that he checked in Arizona before doing this as to what the rules were, but but then later says he didn't know it was a rule that he had to have a consent form signed. So that doesn't add up to me. And as far as the other complaints lodged against him, I never said that. That was actually the police that reported that when they did the investigation of him. And I guess that's all I wanted to add.
Thank you.
Mr. Ramsey, do you have any further questions at this moment?
I do have some questions for Mr. Richardson. I guess I'm just trying to kind of picture the session planning here. I know as a therapist, pectorals can be useful for neck and shoulder pain. But what I'm failing to understand here is why the equivalent is being addressed for breast tissue, which is not a muscle. The breast tissue is not a musculoskeletal tissue. In my experience, I've never heard of anyone going to that answer for neck and shoulder relief. What I can assume is the closest would be pectoral attachments. And so, Mr. Richardson, can you explain your session progress for why you find that breast tissue is necessary to relieve your client's neck and shoulder pain?
Yes, we were explained about it in school as the breast tissue, I'm sure, gets adhesions, and adhesions start to stick to each other and eventually start to stick to the muscles, and then it makes it to where you have less movement, and your shoulders start, especially for women, start to have medial rotation, which affects the back muscles. And if you can release that tissue, it lets the shoulders roll back to relieve pressure and tension on the back, as long also with allowing you to breathe easier, because the tissue is not adhering down to the chest and the chest muscles, the intercostals, so it's more released and it freely moves when you're actually trying to breathe. And as far as, I'm not sure about the, I think, because I was told by the managers that the client had reported, and I had asked the managers, they actually told me, the owner and the manager told me they did their own research and asked the front desk, and they said, so they told me, the front desk said that they didn't see any problem with the client when they left, that they said she seemed happy. So they told me they weren't sure what was going on and why there was a question on this. And that was from the manager, and the owner of the business told me that they had done that, and they said they had asked the front desk. They never said that the front desk said that she looked distressed. They told me that the front desk said she seemed happy as she left.
What led to your termination then?
I was not terminated. They just said I had to wait and before I could work again was until this session was taken care of with the massage board.
So this is Chairman Bowman. I would like us to focus at this time with our questions on NW. So Mr. Ramsey, do you have any further questions for NW?
No, I do not.
Okay. Ms. Clark, do you have questions for NW?
Just one. As I'm looking at the first statement in our packet, I understand that you suffer from a complex PTSD. Would that not cause you some concern to have a male therapist instead of a female therapist when you would go to get your massages?
Yes, it would. And for about 20 years, I would have avoided that. But I have been in therapy for a very, very long time, and have overcome a lot of obstacles that allowed me to go back to school and other things. So when I had my first massage with him and everything went fine, I saw it as tackling another barrier that had been holding me back. I don't have to be afraid of somebody just because they're a male. I guess that's all I have to say about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega, do you have any questions for NW?
No questions.
Thank you. Mr. McLean, do you have questions for NW?
Yes, ma'am. So the activity that's alleged to have taken place went on for 30 minutes, is that correct?
30 minutes, yes.
Okay, and at no point during that time you were able to find the strength to remove yourself from the situation or call out for anyone?
No, that wasn't my reaction. And I would like to note that people do not have control over whether they're in a fight or flight or freeze situation when things like this happen. So I didn't have control over how I reacted. I'm only sharing with you how I reacted.
Okay, so the therapy that you received in the past was not able to play a part in your reaction?
No.
Okay, and did you in fact provide him gratuity when you left?
I did, I was on autopilot. I checked out, I gave him a tip, I went to Walmart, I grabbed this stuff to make my kids dinner, all of those things. But I do have the email records and the phone call records proving that it was in fact Rub's Massage that reached out to me. I did not reach out to them.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, NW. And I would appreciate it, depending upon the decisions we make, that we could be have those records made available to us, to board staff, particularly Mr. White. Okay. Does anyone on the board have further questions for Mr. Richardson?
Chair Bowman, this is Andrea, if I may.
Yes, this is Sarah.
In the board's electronic packet, I just wanted to draw the board's attention to page 245 of 341. There's an office note there from the manager. It's part of an incident report. The very last line before the signature says, after receiving three complaints of similar nature, Mr. Richardson has been terminated effective immediately. And it was signed 1/22/2020.
This is Joshua. I have a question. I don't know what point report you're talking about, because the NW is the only one I've been ever told about or even asked about. And then when I was told about this from my manager's manager and the owner of the business, they had said this is the only thing they had. And like I said, they said that for until the board meeting, that I was just suspended. I was never terminated. I have not got any paperwork. I have not been ever verbally been told that I was terminated. I was told I was just waiting for the board hearing. Even when, as I was investigated by the police, they never said there was any other incident. They said it was just this one incident.
Excuse
me one second. Rubs might have had a complaint against him, but may not have had a complaint that wanted to follow through. So they made note of that complaint and logged it into their files. If they didn't have a complaint, they very well couldn't fire anyone. You need a complaint. And a lot of times you see on these cases that the individual that wants to make a complaint sometimes just wants to notify them, the business, what kind of person they have working there. But Ms. NW followed through by making a police report, and after she was notified by Rubs that she appeared to be unsatisfactory when she left. And that's when we came in after that. She notified us.
Right. And Chair Bowman, hi, this is Sabrina Khan. I just wanted to bring to your attention is that we're here today for this complaint that has been filed against the licensee, Joshua Richardson, complaint number 20-114, and that's where the board's focus should be.
Right. So, Ms. Khan, I believe what you're suggesting is that given the information in front of us, we need to make a decision to take it to formal interview or formal hearing. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. If you want specific legal advice, I'd be glad to provide that in executive session. But everyone's talking about things of, you know, that may have happened in the past. We're here today because of the complaint that was filed by complainant NW. And so that's where the board should be focused here today.
Okay. Thank you.
He has not been noticed on any other complaints that are out there. He was noticed on this complaint, 20-114. But the that's why we're here.
But the one thing that's on the part of the package.
Mr. White, please. I need to maintain order here. So I will take Mr. White next and then Mr. Ortega. So please, when you want to speak, you can wave at me or you can send a little text message and we will take everybody in order. Mr. White, please go ahead.
The one thing you got to remember is that the second complaint was added as part of the package, as we did, as we requested information from Rub Studios, and they sent that along with the other complaint. So it's not that we are just adding miscellaneous information. This is information that we received on the part of us requesting information from Rubs.
So this is a part of Rub's notes.
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ortega.
I move that we move Joshua Richards' case 20-144 to a formal interview.
Is there a second?
Mr.
McClain seconds it. Ms. Cisneros, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McClain?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. So NW and Mr. Richardson, board staff will be in touch with you as to how we will proceed from here. Thank you very much for attending today.
Chair Bowman, this is Tony. I just noticed that there's a Josh Richardson that wants to talk, but it's not called to public anymore, so I'll let you handle that.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Yes, Mr. Richardson, according to the protocol of this, we have enough information that we need to take it forward to an interview so that we can procure all the information and come forward with a decision. So at this point, I'm going to move on to our next case. Thank you.
All right, thanks. I just had a question regarding my case, though.
Well, I'd like you to direct you to board staff when this board meeting is over. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, now let's take case 20-153, Chris Angel. Is Mr. Angel here? And then I would also...
Can you hear me?
Yes, there you are. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And is KH also on the line?
I am. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Ms. Cisneros, would you please give us a summary of this case?
Yes, thank you. Chair Bowman and members of the board, on February 18th of this year, the board received a complaint from KH regarding a massage therapy session with the respondent that took place on February 15th, 2020 at Mind, Body, and Soul Spa in Prescott. Upon arrival, KH completed the forms granting permission to massage the upper chest, hips, and glutes due to muscle tightness and discomfort. KH stated that when respondent massaged the top of her chest, she felt uncomfortable and felt as though The blanket was not completely covering her chest, but could not confirm this due to having an eye mask placed over her eyes. Respondent continued massaging the top of KH's chest and moved down to her breasts. KH alleges that respondent palmed and or cupped her breasts and massaged them in a way that she felt was inappropriate and in which she did not consent to or feel comfortable with. KH stated that she did not address this with the respondent or the front desk receptionist at the time, as she was uncomfortable and still processing what had occurred. KH called the spa 30 minutes after leaving and inquired as to their standard massage protocols. KH requested to speak with management, and after discussing her concerns with the receptionist, she received a refund of her payment for the massage as well as her tip, and was told that management would be looking into the matter. KH also filed a report with the police department, and the case was closed as inactive pending further information. During the course of the board's investigation, KH emailed the board's investigator, where she expanded a little further on her concerns related to the massaging of her sternum and breasts, which has been included in the board's file for review. And that ends my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so Mr. Angel, would you like to give us your interpretation of this?
Yes. For me, it was just a regular everyday massage, nothing complicated. She came in with shoulder pain, and I understood that she was driving down from Phoenix. And so it was just a 90-minute Swedish massage with some focus in shoulders, upper chest work, but full body as well. I asked her twice, once during the beginning of the massage, if pressure and if anything feels comfortable. If anything feels uncomfortable, I would ask her to let me know so I can try to change whatever is going on. And then the second time, when I started doing the upper chest work or pec work, I asked her, does this feel okay? Does this feel comfortable? And she said, yes. And so after all that was done, she seemed happy. She left happy. She gave me a tip. She continued to stay in the lobby and talk with the receptionist. And I believe she bought makeup there too as well. So there was nothing strange about it. Until she called later that day explaining from what I recall, she didn't know if it was uncomfortable or not. So it's just strange to me that someone wouldn't know that having their breast touch wouldn't feel uncomfortable at that time.
So did you have I see this about, collarbone and upper chest. That's not breast tissue. Did you have a breast release form signed?
No, I did not do any breast work. I did pec work.
Okay. Her report is saying that she touched her breasts and massaged to the point of her nipples.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Yes, her report states that she cupped her breasts and massaged the nipples.
That is incorrect. I did not do any of that.
So, Ms. Clark, do you have any questions at this moment for Mr. Angel?
No, because I think you asked the question I was looking for on the release form.
Right.
I'm good at this moment.
Right. Mr. McLean, do you have any questions of Mr. Angel at this time?
No, ma'am.
Mr. Ortega?
No, I don't.
Mr. Ramsey?
I don't. I would just like to see session notes and any other extra material that might go along with this one.
Okay. And so, KH, would you like to add anything at this time to what you've already written?
I would, yes. So when I had gone in, I did sign the upper chest work release. To me, understanding when I think of upper chest, I think of, you know, the collarbone area, maybe a little lower, but definitely above the breast. So when it occurred, because I don't get massages frequently, my concern with it, the reason why I said I wasn't comfortable with what occurred, but the reason why I didn't address it at the time was because in my head, I didn't know what, I was like, well, maybe the upper chest consent form, if that's what it included. I didn't know exactly what it included. So at that time, I was like, okay, he asked if the pressure was okay in the very beginning, which was when he was doing my back and my legs, and that was fine. He asked again if the pressure was okay, he was working the upper chest portion, which it was fine, and I know that's what I consented to. At that time, he then reached down in between my sternums all the way down and wrapped his hands around through my sternum, around the breast, to the side of the breast. He did side work as well. He did touch the nipple. And when I had spoken with the office, when I left the office, I spoke to a couple friends and massages regularly, and I explained to them what happened. And they're like, yeah, that's absolutely not normal. That's not upper chest consent. That's something different. So at that point, I didn't want to make accusations because I know it's his livelihood. It's his job. I don't want to fly off the handle on something that potentially I just didn't have an understanding of that. And of course, if it was my misunderstanding, I would know in the future not to consent to that because it's not something I'm comfortable with. So I called the office 30 minutes after asking them what their protocol is. So I had a good understanding. I said, if this is not your protocol, then yes, it does make me very uncomfortable. If it is, that's my fault for not knowing, but it's something I want to specify because I'm very uncomfortable. And the more I think about it, to where it's very uncomfortable when you're in a room one-on-one with a male individual. Again, kind of earlier what the other person had said, it's just like when you're in that fight, flight, or freeze. I was trying to justify in my brain because I didn't want to overreact if it was something I misunderstood. So when I had called the office, I explained that to them. They said, let me talk to a massage therapist, get her feedback, and I'll call you back. And so she called me back. And all of these calls are recorded also, by the way, from the massage office. So she had called me back and explained to me that she's like, well, if it's upper pec work, they just do the upper portion. It shouldn't go below that. And I said, well, it absolutely did. So this is a problem. I was like, I would like to speak to your manager. I didn't ask for a refund. I didn't do anything like that. All I said is I want to speak to your manager because we have a problem. And she said, okay, let me pass along the information. And then she mentioned to me as well, she's like, do you mind? So she asked me because before passing along the information, she said, well, the manager is very busy. Do you mind explaining to me what happened so I can let them know? So I did, and I explained why I was uncomfortable, the situation at hand. So she said, okay, I will let the manager know. And then she volunteered the fact I could report it to the massage therapy board. So I said, thank you for that. I look forward to hearing from your manager. And then later she calls again and says, well, I spoke to my manager. We refunded your gift card because it was a gift from a friend. We refunded your gift card and, you know, we'll handle it from here. And that's all that was addressed. I said, well, you know, this is a problem. I actually want to talk to a manager. I would like to speak to them because obviously this shouldn't have occurred. So then finally, it was a day or two later, the manager called me on speakerphone with Chris and with the receptionist that I had spoken with to have Chris tell me basically why, you know, what his protocol is for the massage. So I let him speak about it. And so after he was done, I said, okay, so how does that entail the breast? And he said, well, I didn't massage your breast. I'm like, you did, and you touched over the nipple. He's like, well, I may have accidentally touched your nipple when I did it, but that, you know, basically it wasn't intentional. To me, to even say that you may have accidentally done that shows he was in the vicinity close enough to be able to do that, to where, to me, he absolutely did touch my breast tissue, touch a lot lower than just the upper chest, where I did not consent that. But he did say that in the phone call, which again, it's recorded. He's like, well, I may have accidentally done that. But the manager, they just said, well, here, you know, this is his side of things. How do you feel I should proceed? And I said, you know, that's fine. I feel it's very inappropriate for you to call me on a three-way call with everybody before even talking to me about it. I was like, but you handle it how you see fit, and I'll handle it the way that I see fit on my end. So that's when I reported it to the police and the massage board. And once they found out, the police officer told them I wasn't pressing criminal charges. So then at that point, the massage office just did not comply. They wouldn't answer any questions or talk to the police officers or anything like that. So that's kind of where it was left.
Thank you. Okay. Does anybody have any further questions of KH at this time?
No, ma'am.
Not for KH, no.
I have one, Emily Clark. KH, if you felt that what he was doing was inappropriate on your, in your opinion, mm-hmm. why would you not have stopped the massage at that moment?
Because it was just something that I was trying to process in my head. I know I signed that consent. I didn't know, again, what that entailed. So I partially thought maybe I misunderstood. And it was just something to where it was he and I in the room. It was very uncomfortable. And I just would rather be able to leave and process the information, talk to people who get massages frequently to find out if this is a common thing or not before just flying off the handle and causing a scene and having a problem in that sense.
Okay.
Do any other board members have a question for Mr. Angel? How would we like to proceed?
I do. This is Kevin Ramsey.
Yes. Mr. Ramsey.
This is Kevin Ramsey. Mr. Angel, did you, is it possible that you accidentally touched your client's breast tissue and or nipple?
No. During that phone call, I do not recall ever saying that I may have touched her nipple. This call was actually recorded on video at the spa. And I'm sure there were notes from the receptionist as well, recording the phone calls as well.
And would you say that KH's definition of the technique that you used, moving inferiorly down the sternum and around to the lateral sides of the breast tissue, would you describe that as accurate for the work that you were providing?
Just the sides where the intercostals are. I did some pin and stretches for her upper chest.
So moving and down the sternum and then circling around to the lateral portions?
No, that's not correct.
Okay, thank you.
I have one question, Mr. Angel. Emily Clark. Mr. Angel, how would you have draped, explain your draping process for the breast area, pec area, and the abdomen area?
So it's tucked in from the, I tuck it into the armpit. I always make sure that the draping is, adequate. I'm always careful with my female clients. Yeah, it, it, she was never undraped, so I don't know where that came from.
No, I'm just asking you to describe your process or technique and how you drape your female clients if you're only going to be working the upper chest area.
So the draping, the top of it is just uncovering her pecs. It doesn't go any lower than it should be. And then it is tucked in where her armpits are. So her arm will be on top of the sheet. So it's pulled out from under and then just moved on top.
Okay.
Okay, Victoria Bowman, I move that we move this case to formal interview.
Emily Clark, second.
Mrs. Narrows, will you take a roll call vote, please?
Chair Bowman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean? Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you for attending. Board staff will be in touch with you as to how we proceed forward. Okay. Summary of current events. By law, the summary of current events is limited to summarizing recent occurrences. The board cannot propose, discuss, deliberate, or take legal action on any matter in the summary unless the specific matter is properly noticed for legal action. So I would like to ask Mr. Ramsey to report on the health bill, HB 2740.
Yes, thank you for letting me have some time to talk today. Most recently in the past few weeks or so, I have been getting a little bit more interested in tracking legislation, bills that have been working their way through the House. In summary, HB 2740 outlines the consolidation of the Board of Cosmetology, the Board of Barbering, and the Board of Massage Therapy at its inception. Very shortly after an action was taken to remove the consolidation of the Board of Massage Therapy. And so I took it upon myself with the help of board staff and a couple of my educator colleagues to meet with the representative Kavanaugh, who was the initial proponent of the bill. And we just wanted to get an idea of where the bill's conception comes from, what the projected plans for the bill would be in the future, considering that it is now, correct me if this is an incorrect term, but I believe it is an inactive bill currently. I wanted to be proactive about it and understand what future action would be in relation to this bill. And really stand for my opinion that, you know, I believe that the Board of Massage Therapy, you know, both the staff and the board members, we work very hard for the general public, for the licensees, you know, particularly the board staff, that you guys are you know, dedicated and focused purely on massage therapy and seeing massage therapy lumped in with cosmetology and barbering is a little bit unsettling as a public definition. And so ultimately we wanted to be proactive and interactive with the bill's actions, with the bill's individuals, namely Representative Kavanaugh and his staff, just to understand if the Board of Massage Therapy is in their line of sight for future action. At this point, ultimately, the language regarding the Board of Massage Therapy was taken out of the bill, and he really has no updates for us on any plans on his part due to or in relation to the Board of Massage Therapy. It looks like this bill was initially brought up to him by the by cosmetology schools and members of the school boards, I believe, And they really don't have any more interest to consolidate the Board of Massage Therapy in with the other two boards. So I believe at this point, you know, it's good news for us to be a focused individual entity within massage therapy, to continue supporting the industry, continue supporting the public, and to move forward with a focus on, you know, primarily what we have been working on for, you know, since board's conception. So I can ramble on about the details of this for a little bit, but I believe that to be a pretty accurate summary of kind of what I've been working on in my scope with this bill. I want to keep looking forward to, you know, to ensure that, you know, future language does not, it may be reintroduced, and so we want to be able to be proactive about it, but I do have some ideas and plans to further, you know, to further galvanize the massage industry, to help with public education, to you know, help support the growth and understanding of massage therapy in the medical field, but that can be saved for another day. As far as HB 2740, it is now only concerning cosmetology and barbering, and massage therapy board is no longer in the bill's language.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate you taking that initiative and finding out more information for us. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep. Item 9, discussion and possible action item for future massage board agendas. I think we're doing really well. I think we moved through this Google meeting fairly well. I thank you for all of your cooperation. Our next massage board meeting will be Monday, July 27th, 2020 at 9:30. Again, it will be digital. And board staff will be communicating to us and getting our packets to us so that we can run as smoothly as we did today. Okay. Yes, Mr. Ortega.
What would the staff like done with our paper files?
Great question. Mr. Augerton? You unmute yourself.
See, there's another glitch. You think you're doing it and you forget that little red button. Madam Chair, Mr. Ortega, I'm glad you asked the question, because now that we've gone back to hard copy files, the information that each of you have received does contain confidential information that has to be destroyed or returned to board offices. What we could do is, when we send out our next packet to you, we could enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope and have you send it back to us for destruction, and that way we would be consistent with how those are handled. Unless, Madam Chair, you prefer something else.
We should keep our binders, correct, for future meetings?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, each of you have received your individual binders back, and if you would now retain those. In a sense, we're kind of going back in time, because you have your binders now physically with you, and then you're getting hard copy paper packets. And really, besides those of you who are still stuck in the tactile world, like myself, that like paper, the other advantage is that when Tony has the screen up with where we are in the agenda, it's really impossible to look at your packet and the agenda and the other participants simultaneously. And this way, you put the packet in front of you and watch the participants and watch the moderators show you the agenda. So I don't think it's antiquated. I think it actually is an advantage to remote participation.
Right. So I think the one comment I would like to make is there was a reference to a page number, and there aren't page numbers on our pages,
right?
Which when it was digital, we could do that. So that was a little bit of a glitch for me. I'm wondering if we take responsibility for shredding them ourselves, if that would be okay, or would it be preferable that we return it to staff?
Madam Chair, you know, we could ask Sabrina what would be the best business practice and see what her thoughts might be.
You know, I leave it to your discretion, but if the board wants to discuss this in more detail, we're going to need to put it on the board meeting agenda for discussion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that might be an important item. So let's do this. Mr. Otterton, perhaps get with board staff and determine how you would like these returned, perhaps. Well, let's let board staff figure out our solution to that and then let us each know in the next few days.
Okay, thanks, Madam Chair. We'll do that.
Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Madam Chair, I do have one more thing that I want to address before we move to adjourn.
Okay.
I remember back in February, we did have two points of interest on our schedule, one concerning the ID licenses, and I'm wondering if we might be able to add that to next month's agenda to see what the updates have been or if any actions have been taken, and the other being a request by, I believe it was either yourself or Vice Chair Clark to discuss the CBD conversation that some other states have been having and that we have not yet addressed as a board here in Arizona. So I'm curious if we might be able to add those as a discussion towards the end of maybe next month's meeting.
Okay. So noted. Thank you. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Emily Clark, I make a motion we adjourn till next month.
John Ortega, I second.
Okay. Mrs. Nouse, last roll call vote.
Chair Bowman?
Yes, aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Aye.
Mr. McLean?
Aye.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
The motion passes.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much for attending today, and we'll see you next month.